Open your Bibles up to Numbers chapter 13. I'm just going to begin the message and then end it and then finish it next Sunday. But we talked about last Sunday morning, we talked about commitment and how important commitment is. Numbers 13. And I want us to read a passage here in Numbers 13. Go to verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, every one, a leader among them. And so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of these men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now, if you will, jump over to verse 26. And so they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now go down to verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Now let's stop, and my message today is to be bold in the Lord in your calling. You know, a lot of us, because we receive Jesus and we come into conflict in our life, and I'm going to liken all of us unto those who have been delivered out of Egypt. How many of you are thanking the Lord that you have been delivered from the land of Egypt? Then we need to follow the Lord and His house that He has resurrected if we truly see ourselves going to what God, the fullness of what God has promised us. Do you all believe that God has called you to the fullness of His stature, to the abundance of His life? Well, I got news for you. We're going to look at Scripture that declares that. And I'm going to tell you, life does not really have a definite view of success for you and I. We have to go after life and make it work for us with God working in us to accomplish that. You cannot face this world, this life, without the Lord working in your heart to succeed over it. Thank God I have Scripture that when I was delivered from the land of Egypt, thank God I have Scripture that says, though I would go through the water, I would not be consumed by. Though I walk through fire, it shall not even harm me or do any. I like it when he said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." He didn't say, "Because you've overcome the world," because I've overcome the world. Why? I can be of good cheer because as long as I know that he has taken victory of the world, then I'll let him in me move into his position of victory that he has declared for me. Praise God. Amen. And so we've got to quit looking down on ourselves, and we've got to quit looking at ourselves as being able to do something in ourselves. No, God didn't call you to do something within yourself. He called you so that he could work in you, through you, to accomplish what needs to be done in the world. Amen. I'm sad that many more leaders do not stand up and proclaim the goodness in the heart of God when God does something for mankind, especially for the church age or the generation. And notice he says, we were giants. We saw giants there, and descendants of Anak came. I thought it was very interesting. Really, when you really study this book of Numbers, it's really interesting. You know, God did not originally want spies to go in and spy the land out. He wanted to go in immediately and take it. Because they cried out, "Well, we need to check this thing out first." And so Joshua said, "Okay. Well, God, what are you going to do about it? We got a bunch of scaredy cats. They don't want to go on in." You know, people, when you were called into Canaan, did you know that it's not going to just fall on you? You are to fight the good fight of faith. You know, you have to go after it. Somebody said, I was all right until I went to buy His Word. And I found out that when I went to buy His Word, all hell broke loose on me. And I thank God I left. You know what I did? I went, praise God! Because I tell you what, don't live in a false hope. You have to go after it with faith in your heart so you can succeed with it. But thank God it's up to God to enable us to do it. We don't do it on our own. We do it because He's in our heart. And in order for God to fail in our life, He would have to fail in our heart. Because God didn't design you to be a puppet motivated by strings. That kind of thinking is an excuse to escape our own rights as a human being for our own actions. Oh, you know, God's sovereign. Well, He didn't tell any of them that He brought out of the land of Egypt. He didn't tell them that He was sovereign. He told them, follow Me. I'll see to it everything that you need's taken care of. And they still murmured and complained. But you know what I found out about the nation of Israel? They murmured and complained, but God wasn't upset at the murmuring and complaining. He was upset at their unbelief. You know, it's one thing to murmur and complain about something, but it's another thing you do it in unbelief. You know, I don't have a person coming up and murmur and complain about something, but when I give them an answer or a reason for their murmuring and complaining, they still don't trust Me. Then what's that say for them? You know, people's got to have some kind of faith in their heart. And you know, thank God, this is a victory overcometh the world, our faith. And God has created you to live in His faith in your heart. Now look at this. They went to Lion. They said, we're grasshoppers in their sight. I don't read anywhere in the Old Testament where one of the spies went up to one of the giants and knocked on his kneecap and said, hey, do I look like a grasshopper to you? Matter of fact, Rahab, she was a harlot. She changed profession. She said, we heard about your God. And your God made everybody shake. Why? How they were delivered out of the land of Egypt. You know that got around. You know what the inhabitants of Canaan were saying? Are those people coming our way? I like somebody to say, hey, get Pastor Jan to pray for you. He knows how to pray the will of God on your life for physical healing. I don't like somebody to say, here comes a pastor and he's an idiot. He don't trust nothing. That's the way it should be with you guys. When you step into a situation in your life, somebody say, let's go to them. There's peace about them. There's a strength about them. I don't know where they get it. All hell broke loose on them. They seem to walk right out of it. There's a peace in their heart. There's something. I need their prayers. I need where they're at. See, that's what the salt is that you're supposed to be.
Well, I sure hope I'm saved.
Well, guess what? You need salvation because you've got a hope there of salvation, which you've already received. You've got a problem in your thinking. Do you know God didn't call you into His kingdom for you to be a grasshopper? I know that one guy was called Grasshopper. There was a kung fu guy. I told myself a long time ago, I ain't no grasshopper. But they said, we're grasshoppers. And so all this congregation lifted their voice and they cried and they wept. My gosh, the inhabitants of Canaan had better sense than that. They're sitting there, hey, that guy that delivered him is coming our way. And they're sitting there, we're grasshoppers. That's the way the devil will do to your life. He'll try to get you to think you're a grasshopper when Satan sits there and shakes in his boots because you're hanging around. I'll tell you what, you got a seal of approval on your life, whether you realize it or not, when you say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Right away, even all the principalities and all powers in the heavenly realm, they know about you. And so Satan has to find some way to get you from Canaan land. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, The kingdom of heaven is forcibly treated. Now notice what he said, from the days of John the Baptist until now. It means that there is a kingdom, and it's the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is the kingdom he's referring to. And notice what he said, this kingdom is forcibly treated, but he goes on to say, and forceful men seize it. Glory to God. Forceful men seize it. Now, you know what? Luke 16:16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. From then, the kingdom of God is being preached. And that is in direct reference to Matthew 11:12, where he's saying the kingdom of God will suffer violence. But violent men forcibly seize it. Are you following what I'm saying? And he's talking about from the time Christ appeared and laid the kingdom of the heavens down. That is the kingdom that you and I are now walking in. Not the kingdom of the Old Testament, but the kingdom of the New Testament. We're Canaan livers. We're Canaan dwellers. And we're giant killers. Hallelujah. Many of us, we should not be bringing up an evil report before the Lord when He's living in our house. Now notice this. The law and the prophets were until John. From then, the kingdom of God is being preached and everyone into it is pressing. Now notice he says, from then the kingdom of God is being preached and everyone has to be pressing into it. And the kingdom he's referring to is the kingdom of our Christ. Not the kingdom of the law and prophets. But he says the kingdom from John the Baptist right on up to the confirmation of Christ, right into the generation of the Gentile kingdom. And he's saying that kingdom is going to be forcibly treated. But it means forcible men seize that kingdom. It costs you nothing but to walk in His authority, to seize that kingdom. And I've seized that kingdom. Praise God. I don't know about you, I've seized it. Man, I would love the name Caleb. Because in the Hebrew, the word name Caleb means giant killer. Whoo! No wonder he had that name. So some of us suffer a little bit of adversity. Oh, God! I don't know what to do next. Well, the nation of Israel ran into that problem a lot of times.
What are we going to do? It's over for us.
How many times have you felt in your life it was over for you? You know, it's never over for you if you don't want it to be over for you. You know, most people seem to think, I heard one person say, well, I don't really have a ministry calling, so I'm not important to the kingdom of God. Everyone that's called into the kingdom of God is important to God. Every one of you is important to God. And hey, if you don't have a desire to go minister, but you have a desire to provide for your family, you're in faith concerning the kingdom of God. Because if anything else, you can reach your family. Hallelujah. But listen, these spies, they're sitting there murmuring, complaining, brought an evil report up. And you know, it's, you know, God, you know why God allowed this? Because He wanted them to see how faithless they were. It wasn't that, you know, the land is full of what God said, milk and honey and everything. But you should see the guys that eat these grapes. Grapes as big as basketballs. You know, we don't have a problem eating these grapes. You got to see the guys that the grapes are being planted and grown for. You know what? I would have taken one of them grapes and I would have held it right up to the glory of God and say, now how big does this grape look compared to my God? I like what Caleb said. We're more than well able to take it. Why? He wasn't looking at their own strength. He was looking at the strength of God because he did not forget what God had delivered them out of. Now look at this. Only do not rebel against the Lord. This is 14:9. Nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And you can say that about yourself. The Lord is with you. Don't fear what this world has to offer. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, you can see signs and wonders till they fall out your eyeball. But if the signs and wonders doesn't affect your heart, what good is it? Now, jump forward to verse 28. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcass of you who have murmured against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you to dwell in. You know what he's saying? This is an example. I got news for you. If you want all that God has promised you, and you want God to work through your heart, people, I got news for you. You got to lay the body of flesh down and pick up the life of the Spirit, and that's where you got to start living out of. Somebody always puts God on hold for spiritual things, but never physical things. I made a decision in my heart. I'm not going to be a love slave to God. I am going to let God use me any way he wants to, but I have to put my flesh man down first. If anything that you do in the flesh is before God, you're out of sync. You need to switch your thinking. God has to be number one in your life. First. You know, people, you are bought with a price. Your life is not your own. You know, I've learned something about myself. As long as I have a carnal, fleshly need in my life, I'm putting God in the background. If I put him before that carnal, fleshly need in my life, then I've got God in my right perspective. Ho, 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 ho. I'm going to tell you. You know what? We always look at the Old Testament as having nothing in it for us. I know sometimes I would allude to that. But really, what I'd like to do is clarify that. The Old Testament, not just law only. Are you following me? There's a lot of good examples in the Old Testament that I could read those stories about and realize they're a good example for me not to follow that way of thinking or doing. Now, real quick, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, we are going to learn some good stuff, especially next Sunday when I get into this again. This is powerful stuff. In Hebrews chapter 3, remember how the Lord showed me the book of Hebrews supernaturally? It was right at the beginning of a service, Sunday morning service, and just laid that whole book out. And there was so much contrary to my thinking, I couldn't prophesy, but God wanted me to prophesy what I was seeing in English. Them little lines going to the chapters, you know. But so I had to pray it back out. In the full meaning of the book of Hebrews, and I've discovered something that the converted Jew, I'm calling about a Jew born of the flesh, a converted Jew to Christ did not want to abandon God. What they wanted to do was go back into Judaism because of the hardship that they incurred accepting Christ and then abandoning Judaism. And so the whole book of Hebrews is designed to prove the superiority of Christ over the Judaic law or the system. How many are following what I'm saying? And so the whole book, every stroke of it, has a tendency to teach you how more superior you are in Jesus. So when I was reading that book, even though it was written to a converted Jew, not to apostatize from Christ, to go back to Judaism, even though I saw that book from the viewpoint of being written to a Jew, what it did is it expressed my position as a Gentile believer and the strength that I possess because of what they possessed departing from Judaism going into Christianity. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, I want to get this thought across before we go on and finish this next Sunday. But notice what he says in chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews with this thought in mind. That a Jew who was converted to Christ is in a far more superior position than he was as a Jew in Judaism. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. Christ is not in the Greek there. It's just Jesus. Because he's talking about the humanity of Christ. He goes on to say, who was faithful to him, who appointed him as Moses also was faithful in all his house. And who appointed him was, of course, the Father. For this one had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he, having prepared all things, is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken. Now you have the word afterwards italicized, which is okay. But notice he says, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken. And this verse is literally leading you of being spoken of what was to come in the future. How many are following what I'm saying? Now follow me real close because I know it's getting a little late on time. But I want to get this point across to you about how important you are and how important you need to know how important your authority is in the position that you've inherited. Notice what he says. He says, but Christ as a son over his own house. Now, this own house he's referring to here is the spirit that you had inherited at the new birth. And so it would be the spirit of mankind. And notice what he says here, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Actually, it's rejoicing of the hope, period. And, of course, this is called the Christian hope is our glory, our glory. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness. And this is a direct reference of the Jews and how they responded in the Old Testament. Numbers 13:14 we just read. Notice this, in the day of the trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice. Now stop right there and jump down to chapter 4 real quick like. And I want you to go to verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his work. I want you to stop and get a hold of this. He said that he was telling a Jew that wanted to go back into Judaism to stand firm in your Christianity. Stand firm in Jesus. Because Jesus is over a different house than the house of Moses. He is in the house of the spirits of just men made perfect. Are you following me? So the Holy Spirit works in our heart. And he said, don't be like them in the day that they were tested, murmuring, complaining, and full of unbelief. But he says, listen to me. Today, when God speaks, hear what he's saying in your heart today. Because God doesn't change. If he got you the victory 2,000 years ago, that is the voice that's going to come out of your heart for the victory you need today. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, why did he use the seventh day? He went back to Genesis chapter 1. And he spoke of a certain day of what took place in Genesis chapter 1. And you know what it was? He created everything. He created everything. The animal kingdom, the world, the plant life, everything. Right. He created it all. And here's what he said. Let's create mankind for everything that I created. And so he created mankind. So we got the world created, we got mankind created, and we got the animal kingdom created, we got the plant life created, and guess what his voice said after he created everything? Here's what his voice said. Are you ready? He says to Adam and Eve, now that everything's created, let you, Adam and Eve, have dominion. Then in chapter 2 of Genesis, he goes, and God sat down and rested. That was his voice. When you got born again, God's word, New Testament, your house, Jesus is over it, not Moses. And in the house of Jesus, he's got a word for you called today. If you will hear his voice, he will show you his completed work that you can rest in it. When you face a difficult life that is ahead of you, you have a day of rest that belongs to you. You want to fear anything? Fear this one thing. Is there a promise I'm not aware of that I can cling to enter into that rest? Woo! That's what he goes on to say. There are six rests mentioned in the Old Testament. One means a keeping of the Sabbath. That's a rest. You know what Sunday is? It's an excuse for you to get back, get away from work, and rest in the goodness of God. But you know what? God has to move in your heart for that kind of thinking. Here it is. Are you ready? The second one is a relieving of stress or pain. That is another form of rest. Here's another one of natural sleep. How many of you know that natural sleep is healthy? Here's another one. To give intermittent from labor to refresh oneself. 15-minute breaks on work. Number five. This is the one we all want. The harmonious working of all the faculties of a person's heart, his will, his conscience, and his imagination. Working in harmony to have peace. Ooh, I like that one. And the sixth one is a participation in a completed work of another person's doing. And guess what word for rest here? It is the sixth one. He says that you enter into a participation in a completed work of another person. In this case, his name is Jesus. I don't know what to do now. I'm faced with it. Wait a minute. Be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. I'm just going to rest in his completed work in this situation. I'm going to look for promises where it fills that up and go through your scripture, find your promise, say, oh, praise God. Now you're getting his attention. You know what if it be thy will means? If it be thy will. If you want us to go into Canaan and possess, if it be thy will. It's Pine Box. In case you guys hadn't figured it out by now. It's called Pine Box. I'll tell you one thing, what moves giants, knowing God's will, moves the giants. Well, how do I move him? Today, if you will hear his voice will tell you, I have overcome the world for your sake. Go do something about it. Did you guys get something here this morning? Praise God, stand up. I was preaching to somebody here this morning. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I'll tell you, you got to change your priorities. You got to put him first above everything. And then when you face the world out there, can you imagine those families? Especially, there was two of them I know were born again. Can you imagine those families facing the situation of losing a loved one that loved God? One big thing that's going to come alive in their heart and life. Why God? Why God? I know I've been there. Sue and I have been there. Well, your mind wants to say, why did this happen to your kid? But you know what I learned about me? My flesh man don't know nothing to begin with. He ain't going to learn nothing to live with. And guess what? He sure ain't going to be around when I die. Because they ain't going to be with me in that. Because my death is resurrection. So my physical man, I don't care what he comes up with. I just learn how to take him and put him on the shelf and tell him, you shut up and your thinking and everything else that would come against my living God, because he will in time give me answers to this situation. I don't have to be sitting there and talk to against you. You lie. Well, if God's so good, why did it happen? God is good. I don't understand why it happened, but it ain't God. It's probably a misstep of my guidance. So shut up, body of flesh. You can't say anything good about God anyway, because all as you are is in death. I have to resurrect you through my inner man when he gets sick. I got to resurrect you by the authority of my redemptive right. So what are you going to tell me that has any authority? Woo! Woo! We got a good year ahead of us. We got a good year ahead of every one of you. All I'm asking you to do is believe. Believe God. Trust in Him. Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. I thank you for those that shared. I thank you for everything that took place here. Father, I'm sorry we had stretched each other a little bit, a few more minutes. But Father, I'll tell you, that spirit of Antichrist needs to get out of here. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We adore you. And if any of you need prayer after this service is ended, you come up here and you get prayer. Hallelujah. And if your body has been running you around, run it around. Make it a slave. It's not part of you. It's just a tent. And God, hallelujah, you're over our spirits. Hallelujah. And may our spirit being rule over our physical man. Father, from this day forward. Father, we be not like the murmurers and complainers that came out of Egypt, for they could not forget Egypt, nor could they forget the pomegranates and the figs, but they forgot about the slavery that they had been made into. But Father, we're free of all that. We're no longer slave to it. We can enter into Canaan land and slay the giants that are before, because in the name of Jesus, we can do all things according to the power that is at work within us. So if I close the service today and you're here and you have never given your heart and life to Jesus, come out of the world of slavery and come into the kingdom of victory. Get born again from above. And if you've been a slave after you've come into the kingdom, make a decision in your heart to switch that today. Let us pray with you. If you've never had the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that works in your inner man, oh, praise God. Receive that baptism this morning. You'll see a difference in your life. A difference in the outcome. Hallelujah. And if you're here for the first time and you're visiting and you're new and you have questions, please feel free to go to our hospitality room. With that be said, Father, as I dismiss these people, may they have a victorious day. And may they not forget our service tonight. For our children's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen.